Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. You may remember last week, I want to say Thursday, I think we were at the diner, maybe not. But I know it was last week. We had on Chief of Police in Abington, Patrick Malloy, with a tough case of a 19-year-old, I believe the man was 19, who was walking for hours, apparently, at times, through Abington Township, Glenside. There was a report, I think we had one person tell us, at the Abington Shopping Center, with an AR-15 slung over his shoulder, barrel pointed down. And the thought was, well, maybe this guy's trying to provoke a debate, you know, then everything is taped, on the Second Amendment. We've had this before. Guy walking around, Cotman and Castor, you know, carrying a sidearm on his hip. And the cop, who didn't know the law in Philadelphia or care about it, apparently, was an unbelievable video of it. So they didn't make that mistake. They were trying to respect everybody's rights, Second Amendment, and residents, given the times we live in, given all that's going on, who were saying they're going to protect themselves, they're calling the police, 911 calls. You can imagine the nightmare. And then I guess on Thursday, late Thursday or into Friday, what happened is search warrants were issued. That's one part of this. And as I understand it, according to news reports, this man was then involuntarily committed. Now, I'm looking at frequently asked questions about the Pennsylvania Mental Health Procedures Act of 1976 and what's the responsibility of a petitioner I have in front of me. Can the police or a physician get a psychiatric examination for a mentally ill individual? And they go through the types of things that have to happen here. And I know we're very sensitive, and rightfully so. Several people on my Facebook page, one of whom is really a friend, were putting up the violations they saw here by the police. All right, so we invited the chief on. I'm very glad he's here to break this down and tell us where it stands and what they did. Hey, Chief Malloy, welcome back. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Dom.
Well, tell me what happened then late last week. You issued search warrants. Is that what triggered it? Or did you get reports from friends? I saw that in the news that this guy had changed a bit and maybe was having mental problems.
Yes. Initially, we received a Facebook message, a private one from two of his friends that expressed concern for him. This was unsolicited, and they wanted to talk to us. We had those two friends came in, and they produced a signed statement that indicated that he possibly was contemplating suicide and also had some other thoughts that we were concerned about and some behaviors that we would question his judgment. Then we had another individual, a close friend of his, who also came forward and spoke to our detectives, and he added some more information to a statement that we provided to mental health professionals. They guided us through the process. We gave them everything that we had because of our concerns, given the context of the fact that he was walking around with a weapon. And that was enough for the mental health emergency services to issue a 302 warrant. That was served shortly after I got off the phone with you last week. And being sensitive to this young man, his family, and if mental illness is an issue here, We didn't want to talk about that. We were trying to be careful as possible, good family. But the more we dug deeply into this issue and some of the information we were uncovering by searches of his phone and other things, that's why we put together a petition for a search warrant, which was executed apart from the mental health issue. While there's no criminal charges being filed yet, We are still actively investigating this issue, and we did confiscate that weapon from his home and other things that we other evidence that we need to analyze as we move forward here. You know, we are sensitive about the mental health issues. I'm getting heat from the Second Amendment people. I'm getting heat from members of our community are saying that we didn't lock down schools and lock down the entire township. You would be surprised at some of the issues that people were pulling into this, as you can imagine, that have nothing to do with what our mission here is, to protect this young man, either against himself and some of the other searches that he did. We're red flags. You know, we get criticized in law enforcement, the FBI and others, because we don't act quickly enough. I'm told by one Second Amendment advocate, you know, he can't believe that I can sleep at night knowing what I did, taking the rights away of this young man, when in fact I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if we didn't handle this.
Let me give you the challenge on the other side, or at least ask an informational question, because it sounds certainly within reasonable boundaries what was done here. When you asked for this, is it 302 still? Is that the procedure, the mental health procedure? You use the evidence of the friends coming forward to you. Is that the main thing you use to make the case?
That's correct, yes.
And how about the search warrant? Is that issued after that, or did you use that on the mental health? You got the mental health first, then the search warrant comes?
Yeah, that's correct, Don. We didn't want to race forward with that search warrant. This was a mental health issue, and there's the gray line between what's something where he needs mental health intervention, or is he about to cause harm to the society and other things that he had in there that we need to explore and are continue to explore. So we didn't issue that warrant based on the 302 commitment. We were able to take the weapon out of the house based on the fact that they kept him there, but we were seizing other evidence based on a search warrant related to other information that we're still gathering, and some of which was retrieved by the press at the local court.
Okay. Now, the affidavit showed searches on the man's cell phone, including what guns were used in mass shootings, Sandy Hook, and how many mass shooters have fatherless homes. But that wouldn't have been enough itself, and you got to that after the mental health through the friends. So if you didn't have the friends, I know this is a hypothetical, actual human beings giving you something on this guy, what's your sense then have you gone after a mental health, involuntary mental health commitment before, since you've been police chief?
Absolutely. A number of times we have done this.
Okay.
It's somewhat routine, and it's crystal clear in my mind that we had enough to do that. Especially, we wanted to be very careful here. We know how sensitive the Second Amendment is, but we just have to be very objective in how we evaluate these things. And, you know, as a father of a 19 and a 26-year-old, you know, knowing that sometimes at these ages, you know, individuals can present some
right.
Emotional or mental illness. And we were concerned about that because of the statements that interested friends who cared about him made to us. So we were very diligent in following up and making sure that, you know, we still want to give the benefit of the doubt to the individual whose rights that we may be taking away or passing this information on to the mental health professionals. We're very sensitive to that.
Now,
we wanted
Chief,
to make sure that we got
yeah,
it right.
I got you. When you do this, who decides? I'm looking at the thing, but I'm not sure how specific this is now. They talk about a county mental health delegate. Do they decide, or a judge? I kind of think a judge ought to decide.
Well, Don, the way it works is they decide whether there is enough for us to, you know, issue the 302 commitment. They
okay.
are the ones that sign it. And then there's a 72-hour process where he is detained. And tomorrow, one of our officers and possibly others would have to go there to testify to see if they would continue to detain him or otherwise have a plan of treatment if that is the course of action that they recommend. So he does have due process under the mental health laws, and this usually that 72-hour window is what's important.
Okay,
so
Chief,
we will be there.
Yeah, you guys are following by the book. I'm just trying to get at this because this I plead ignorance here, and I'm sorry about that. I don't know how many people knew this, that the county mental health delegate, how's that person? That's an appointment, I guess, by somebody, right?
I do not know that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I just know that it's usually a psychiatrist or psychologist.
And I don't want to put you on the spot. I just say to me, since we're at this point in talking with you, Chief, that's a little bit off the mark to me. I would much rather have a judge, particularly somebody where there is some ability to do something and or an elected judge that people are placing their confidence in. I don't even know the process of the county mental health delegate to make that decision, because I think it's correct here, and I really like what you guys did, how long this took you and all the heat you had, but I just am wary of taking away someone's rights unless I have some knowledge of the public choosing this person. That's the only thing that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and I have to plead ignorant. I'm not sure of how that person is appointed. So I can't speak to that. I do know in the past, you know, we've been frustrated where they have let people out, and within 48 hours, we've had people commit suicide.
Oh,
we've seen these things, and so in my experience, Dom, I there obviously nobody's infallible here, but there are a lot of issues and things that we're discovering as we speak. That I'm really concerned about, and so this we're not sure where this is going to go, but you have to trust. We're a very professional police department, and everybody out there doing the job every day.
Well, exactly. No, I agree with you. Now, what happens when he gets out tomorrow? Then does he get his weapon back, or somebody decides that?
No, at this point, he will not get his weapon back.
Okay.
There may be an appeal process where he would be able to get that back in the future. But I know at this point, he will not be getting that weapon back.
All right. Well, Chief, thank you. I'm so glad this is a silver lining. We got to talk with you at length a couple times, because this was really one of the harder cases I've ever seen. And some people would have just jumped in, and God knows what could have happened if you had done that early on with this guy. So, thank you. Thanks for the professionalism in this, and let's see what happens.
Dom, thank you, and I appreciate you allowing me to get on the talk.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.